Let's go off-roading. Here we go with the message today. Going to talk about friendship. Okay, I'm going to talk about how to be a true friend. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. A man that hath friends, say this with me, must show himself what? And there is a friend that sticks closer than a what? Brother. How many have somebody in this room, and to be honest, they're closer to you than your own family? You got a friend like that in your life? Sure. I mean, the Bible just spells that out. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And then a verse we quoted a little bit ago. Say the whole verse with me. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So today we're going off-roading. And we're going to look at this fellow right here. What a great guy. Jonathan. Okay? Look at him, man. He's reaching out there to help his friend. Got a big old smile on his face. Let me help you up. You listening? Amen? Don't you want to be a true friend? Say. Wouldn't you like to learn how to be a better friend? Say. Wouldn't you love that? You're going to learn today. I learned in my office. My wife has always loved Jonathan. She's always wanted me to preach a series on David and Jonathan. Jonathan and David. David and Jonathan. So when we started talking about off-roading, she said, well, what about Jonathan? And I'm like, Jonathan, quit it. But no, I relented and I started studying. And you know what? She's right. This guy needs to be up on the screen. We need to learn a little bit about him today. So let's learn today. Here we go. Jonathan. And this is Pastor Gary learning with you. First of all, he was the eldest son, say it with me, of who? King Saul. He was the eldest son of King Saul. So he would be the one that was in line to the throne. Is that right? Oh, yeah. So he was that one right under King Saul. So when daddy kicks the bucket, or daddy gets tired, or daddy just wants to act like he's king but don't be king no more, he gets to be the king. Is that right? Yeah. That's Jonathan. That's who he is. Also, say this with me because it's really important. He was a warrior. You're going to find out why I hit this so hard a little bit later on in the message. You talk about a man. This guy was a man. All right? He was a warrior. Let's study that a little bit before we find out about his friendship part. Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel. And say this with me. And a what? 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. Alright? So Jonathan was a what? Warrior. I'm not done yet with this warrior thing. Another story. It came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto a young man that bare his armor. So he talks to his armor bearer. Just two of them. Hey, buddy. Yes, sir. Come, you and me. Let's go over to the Philistines' garrison that's on the other side. And he wasn't trying to hide this from his father, but he didn't tell his father. It was just something he wanted to do, and he wanted to do it with his armor bearer. Let's go over to the enemies, the Philistines' garrison on the other side. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. So what's he doing? He's doing this right here. He's like, just you and me, buddy. God, if God's God and He is God, He can whoop tail with just two of us. And he basically says, when we get there, if they say, come on up to us, if they take my challenge, then you get ready because we know God is going to kick their tail with us. That's a warrior right there. That's a crazy man too. And the men of the garrison answered. So he hollered up at them. And they answered and said, come up to us. And look, say that next part with me. And we will show you up. You ever told somebody that? Yeah. Have you ever done this before? So he hollered up to them. And they said, yeah, you come up here. We'll show you a thing. Well, he said, if they say that, God's going to fight for us. So what happened? Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord had delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and his feet, and his armor bearer was after him. And there fell before Jonathan that day men, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about, say it with me, how many? You think you could whoop Jonathan? Somebody tell me. You think there's a man in this room that whooped Jonathan? I don't think so. Not at all. He whooped 20 men. Where it were that when you looked out there was 20 men laying on about a half acre of land. When you looked back out there, pop, pop, beep, pop, 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 boop, boop, beep, pop, 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 that a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host of the Philistines. In the field and among the people and the garrison and the spoilers, they trembled. They were scared to death. And the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. Man, this was a fighter for God, wasn't he? It's incredible. I bet y'all didn't know that about him, really, did you? How many like him already? Come on. Yeah, buddy, I like this guy. Come on. Let's keep learning. Now, he has a couple of near-death experiences. But they're not necessarily what you would think. A warrior, yeah, you'd think he'd have a lot of near-death experiences. This was weird. His first near-death experience. So his dad, Saul, didn't know he was out there fighting and what have you. And there's a battle going on. Battle about to start. And here's what Saul said. Saul, his dad, King Saul, was always rash. Can you say the word rash? Rash. Impetuous. He was always making decisions on the fly. He was very emotional. His father was. And so he made a crazy decision and an oath. And he was king and he could get away with anything he wanted to. And he said what he said and it became the law. And he said, nobody is going to eat anything today. Nobody. Cursed is the man that eats anything until we get back here to camp. So here they're going to go fight the Philistines without having anything to eat. How many would like to do that? Say. I mean, you're telling me we can't like even have like a Snickers bar or something? So that's what he did. Well, Jonathan wasn't there and didn't know what his dad had said. Now follow the scripture with me. And the men of Israel were distressed that day after they had fought battle and they had whooped them. For Saul had adjured the people saying, cursed be the man that eats any food until evening, that I may be avenged on my enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. Keep looking. And all they of the land came to, it says a wood, or came to the woods. They came to the woods. And there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were coming to the woods, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people did what? Feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not his father charge the people with the oath. Wherefore he is like normal. He puts forth the end of a rod that was in his hand. He dipped into the honeycomb. He put his hand in his mouth. Wow. And his eyes were what? What does that mean? He just got nourished. Electrolytes came all back in him. And he's, whew, wow, that's nice. Amen? Then answered one of the people and said, your father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eats any food this day. And the people were faint. The people were faint. They've been fighting all day. They had nothing to eat. Then said Jonathan, my father troubled the land, seeing, I pray you, how my eyes have been enlightened, but I just tasted a little honey. See how much better I feel just eating just a little bit? How much more, if the people had eaten freely today the spoil of their enemies, which they found, how much more we would have... Listen, for had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines, if we would have been strong and been able to eat, wouldn't we have done a better job and conquered more? Does that make sense? Then Saul said unto Jonathan, tell me what you've done. And Jonathan told him, I did but taste a little honey at the end of a rod that was in my hand, and so I must die? And Saul answered, rash Saul, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. What an idiot. Right? Yes or no? And the people said unto Saul, very unusual thing in Scripture, you see this, shall Jonathan die who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? Man, he's the one that went up and kicked their tail with just two of them, got them all upset and scared. We were able to come in, whoop their tail, and now you're going to kill him because he didn't listen to some crazy decision that you made? God forbid, as the Lord lives, there shall not one hair, this is the people talking back to the king, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan from his own daddy. Is that crazy or what? What's that have to do with friendship? Not a whole lot. You need to know who he is. Y'all got it? You need to know this was a strong man. You need to know this was a mighty man. Fellas, you think you're so big and bad you can't be a friend? You think you're so bad that you can't love somebody? We've been taught such a way so many times, fellas, that you know if we act a certain way, we're soft or whatever. I'm going to tell you something. This man would whoop any one of us in this building. And this tough man, that's going to teach us how to be a true friend. Don't you respect him? Wouldn't you like to listen to him now just a little bit, say? And he's not going to preach to you. He lets me do the preaching. I'm just going to tell it the way it is about his life. Let's look at it. Here we go. The next time we see Jonathan, there isn't even a David yet on the scene. So the next time we see Jonathan is after David does what? Kills Goliath. Let's pick it up. And now we're getting closer. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he smote the Philistine, Goliath, and he slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David, young David, ran. He stood upon the Philistine. He took his sword. He drew it out of his sheath thereof, and he slew him, and he cut off his head therewith. And the Philistines saw their champion was dead, and they fled. And Saul, King Saul, said to David, whose son are you, you young man? And David answered, I'm the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Chapter 18. Now we start to see the friendship of Jonathan. Are y'all ready to look at it? Here we go. Are y'all all right? I'm scared to death. You're not awake. There's a lot of work going into this. I know it's just like a good story. I know you're listening. Here we just do this every once in a while. Here we go. Here we go. Jonathan, a true friend. The first thing we see is this. Jonathan makes a covenant with his new friend David. He doesn't even know David. Little boy, little young man, teenager, older teenager from Bethlehem. It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan, say it with me, was knit with the soul of, and so help me now, and Jonathan loved him as his own. Now, Jonathan, I believe, had maybe two or three brothers. I know it. It's coming up. I just forgot. But it's like David. Immediately, they just clicked. You ever met anybody like that? I mean, somebody you just clicked with, say. You just clicked. They just clicked. And also, I think you'll see what happens here. Keep looking. So their soul was knit together. And Saul took David that day and would let him go home no more, home to his father's house. He said, I want you to live right here at the king's house. So Saul wasn't all bad all the time. It was good. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. He loved him. And look what Jonathan did. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe. And remember, don't you think he'd have probably had the best robe of any of them? He's the prince. He's the one next in line. He takes off this royal robe. And he gave it to David. And his garments, all that stuff that went with that. And can't you imagine, remember the story Saul had that big giant? So remember all the armor didn't fit and all that kind of story? Remember that in the Bible? And so it's like Jonathan sees, you know, hey, you take my stuff. It wasn't just any stuff. It was royal stuff. He gave him his sword. Do you think Jonathan cherished that sword? Yes or no? It's a war. You think he really loved that sword? Ha! I can only imagine. You have it. And his bow and his girdle and all that kind of stuff, you have it. He made a covenant with him, and he just absolutely gave to his friend. Did y'all learn anything from that? You keep that in mind. That's incredible, isn't it? Keep looking. Well, what happened in the story? Well, King Saul is a rash man. He's a crazy man. He gets so jealous. He's mainly jealous because the women. What are the women doing? Look. The women answered one another as they played, and they're dancing in the streets, and they're singing, Saul has slain us thousands, and David is 10,000. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they've ascribed it to David 10,000, and to me they've ascribed it thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? Read that with me right there. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. You know what that means, don't you? Say, he's always looking at him with an evil eye, with a suspicious eye. Just wanted you to know that. It has nothing to do with friendship, but don't do that to your friend. Here we go. Keep going. Something else about Jonathan. So here's Saul, jealous, and now look what Saul does. Keep looking. 1 Samuel 19. And Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants, say it with me, that they should do what? Kill David. But Jonathan is a loyal friend. He is able to reverse a royal decree. That's another rash royal decree that crazy Saul has made. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now therefore I pray you, take heed to yourself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide yourself. And I'll go out and I'll stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I'll commune with my father of you, and what I see, that I will tell you. And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul his father. Would y'all say that line with me right there, that first part? And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul his father. Now, I don't want to get off track. We're coming back here. Hang on. But so often, we'll call somebody our friend, but maybe somebody in our family doesn't like our friend, or maybe somebody in our family has a little offense with our friend, and we're two-faced. We are two-faced. We will talk with our family. We'll talk with our family, because, you know, you got to listen to daddy and mama and the brothers and all that, and they don't like our friend. But instead of taking up for our friend, defending our friend, and standing up for our friend, because it's mom and daddy and it's in the family, we try to live on a two-track thing going here. And it don't work, friend. And you're a sorry, no good friend if you do that. Are you listening to me today? You're a sorry, no good friend. If you have a friend, I don't care if your mom and daddy doesn't like him. If he's your friend, you ought to stand up for your friend. Y'all listening or not? I don't care if you agree with it or not. You should. Or just tell your friend, I'm not your friend. Amen? Sorry. So Jonathan, and by the way, your dad couldn't have you killed either. Right? His dad could just, he'd be deader than a hammer. But this guy was such a good man and a good friend, that he went to his father and he said unto him, don't let the king sin against your servant David, because he's not sinned against you. His works have been to you very good. So he starts to talk sense with him, not get into that gossipy, junky mess that we do sometimes in families. He decides, no, I'm going to stand for this guy because he's a good guy. For he put his life in his hands and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all of Israel. You saw it. You were there. You were jumping up and down over it. Wherefore you sin now and shed innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And say this with me. And Saul hearkened unto the voice of... Have you ever thought about maybe the way your family talks about people and puts them down and says things like that is because you've been able to do that your whole life? Maybe somebody in the family needs to stand up and stand for friends. Y'all hearing me or not? Now, y'all knowing what I'm talking about here? Am I the only one with a crazy family? As the Lord lives, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David. And Jonathan showed him all those things. And actually, Jonathan did is he brought David back to Saul. And he was in his presence as in time passed. Come on. He's going to kill me. Come on. He's going to kill me. Come on. I'll be with you. Are you seeing a man that's a great friend or what? He deserves it. He deserves his due. He's in the Word of God for us to learn. Jonathan makes another covenant with David. Things are going to get ugly because Saul lied. His jealousy took over. His envy took over. He knew David was going to be king one day. He despised that. And Jonathan said to David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time or the third day, behold, if there be good toward David, and then I send not unto thee and show it to thee. The Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it to you. I will send you away that you can go in peace. Jonathan talking to David. And the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord that I don't die. When you become king, because you are, you know, I want to stay alive, man. But also that thou shalt not cut off the kindness from my house forever. No, not even when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So they made a covenant together. Because they knew that the days were numbered, man. Saul was hunting him down like a dog. You'll have to read your Bible and see all those things that happened. Okay? But the bottom line is, it's getting real serious, hot and heavy. David's life's on the line, about to get killed. So Jonathan makes this covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. So they make a covenant together. And Jonathan calls David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as his own soul. How tough was that for him? Say, you think he was in a difficult position, yes or no? And I don't want you to forget this. Remember, it was his kingdom to lose. We often think Saul's going to lose his being king. Jonathan was the guy right next in line. It was his kingdom to lose. And yet he loved this guy. No other motive other than he just loved him as his own heart. And he put his life on the line for him. Incredible story. He's a true friend. Keep looking. Jonathan's second near-death experience. Now I'm telling you, get ready. If y'all are asleep, hit somebody. Just hit somebody. How can you sleep during a message like that? You're crazy. Here we go. It's rough. Jonathan continues to stand for David. But he continues to be a good son. And a good warrior. It's almost an impossible path to walk. It's almost impossible for anybody to pull this off. And Jonathan answered Saul, David wanted to go back to Bethlehem to be with his family, to make sacrifice with his family. Wait a minute, back it up. I'm getting my thoughts. And so Jonathan makes the request for David's behalf to let him go, but also he's trying to protect him again, still. So watch the story. Here we go. And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem because he's not at his seat where he's supposed to be in the kingdom with him. David's not there. And he says, let me go, I pray thee, for our family have a sacrifice in the city. And Jonathan's speaking on David's behalf. He hath commanded me to be there, and now if I have found favor in your eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not to the king's table. I want you to see this. So Jonathan again makes a request for his friend David. Are y'all got me so far? I feel like I lost. All right. He makes a request again for his friend David. He's had to do this so many times, but now the heat is so intense, it's impossible. The fact that he came there and made another request for his friend, to go back to be with his family, Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, watch this language. This is King James, tough language. Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman. You son of the perverted, rebellious woman. I don't know who calls people that, but anyway. Do not I know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own confusion and under the confusion, this is crazy talk, of your mother's nakedness? I'm like, what? I'm in my office going, what? I'm going to tell you what I think this means. Clark talking. It's my version. If I wrote it, here's how I'd write it. There's no doubt David and Jonathan loved David as his own soul. He would do anything for him. He was that kind of friend. He cared for him so much. And here's what I believe his daddy did. I believe his daddy said to him, excuse my language, this is his evil father speaking, you're a fag! I don't like that word at all. I believe that's what his dad said. You're a pervert! Can you feel the pain? Say, can you feel Jonathan's pain? Can you feel some of his pain coming from his daddy's mouth, him talking to him like that? Some of you in this room, you've experienced that kind of pain from a father. Can you imagine such a thing? That's why I wanted to show you how... I got to watch my mouth. That's why I wanted to show you how bad he was. What a warrior he was. Since when, fellas, if we love a friend and we're loyal to a friend and we love on a friend and we hug on a friend, since when is that gay? Say. Fellas, a lot of us were raised in such a way. We just didn't touch. We didn't do. We didn't. You know what? That's bull. Are y'all hearing what I'm telling you today? One of the things I love about our men's prayer breakfast is at the close of our prayer breakfast, I get in the center of the circle like a football huddle. And we get in close. And some of the guys aren't used to it. They're out here like hanging out like in a circle, you know, like kumbaya or something. No, 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 no. If you're on the team, get in here. And we huddle together. And there's a hand on my head. There's a hand on my back. There's an arm around me like that. There's another guy over here. And we huddle together like that. I've had guys patting my head when they're praying for me. You know, I wouldn't want a woman doing that, to be honest with you. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't. I don't. I'm being honest. And there's a guy rubbing my shoulder like that, you know, and just as we're praying, I think that's good. I have been so strengthened by the fellowship that I have with the men in this church and the friendship that I have. There ain't one of you I don't see now. I think I hug about every one of you, don't I? That's good. Don't make something crappy out of it. Amen? Be a good friend. For as long as the son of Jesse lives, Saul says, you shall not be established. You're not going to be king boy yourself. Wherefore now send him and fetch him unto me, and I'll kill him. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, why? What has he done? And Saul took a javelin. And he threw it at him. Whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to kill David. If he'll throw that thing at me, it's over. Isn't that terrible? Say. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger. He didn't eat the meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. So they arrange a way to meet so David's not killed. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south. He fell on the face of the ground. He bowed himself three times. Look at this. Say this with me. And they kissed one another and wept. It's funny how we'll look at that. And I've heard many good preachers, and I've probably even said it myself. Remember in the early church, they greeted each other with a holy what? kiss. And I've heard preachers, and I probably said it myself, don't be doing that with me. I'm from the South. Do you see what I'm saying? It's in us. However, some of the toughest men I've known are from Italy, from around Sicily. They'll chop you up into little pieces and cut you up. And they got no problem with grabbing one another and kissing each other, do they say? It's all something we've been sort of dumbed down that if you embrace somebody, that's going to be frowned upon. Especially if you're the same sex. And this is a little bit crazy message today, but I think that's bull. Y'all heard me today? I'm trying to help you be a good friend is what I'm trying to do. Look at this guy right here. I can't stand him. That's Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints right there. And he's hugging his coach, Sean Payton. But what you don't see in that picture is that man kissed that man and that man kissed that man. And you're telling me Sean Payton and Drew Brees got something going on the side? Is that what you're trying to tell me? You're not saying that at all, are you? Of course you're not. They love each other. They accomplished something great together. They beat the Indianapolis Colts. Sorry. But anyway, they didn't hug like that the week after they beat us. Amen? But anyway, I just wanted you to see that that's an okay thing. How about that right there? Say. How about that right there on the battlefield? You think somebody's laying on the battlefield and he's been shot and he's about to die, and can't you see one of his soldier buddies laying down there with him and getting on the ground with him and putting his face and you're going to be okay. You know, I'm with you. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Is that okay or what? How about the old man? He knows what it's like to be in battle. And he sees a soldier come home. And he just buries his head into his chest and says, thank you for serving. Is that okay or what? Jonathan taught us this. I love this guy. What a friend. I'm in my office thinking, I'm a lousy friend. I'm a lousy friend. How you feeling about now? About like me? And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we sworn between both of us in the name of the what? Lord, saying the Lord be between me and you, between our seed and our seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. We got a quick finish. Here we go. Hang in here with me. Jonathan's a true friend. The next time we see Jonathan, well, he continually assures David that he's going to be king. I forgot about this. He sees him again. David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the woods. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose. He went to David in the woods. He strengthened his hand in God. He said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel. I will be right next to your side. And my father knows that. So not only was Jonathan David's friend, because of Jonathan, David became king. Do you think David would have become king had God not had a Jonathan there? Yes or no? No. He preserved his life. He stood right by his side. You will be king. But the beautiful thing about Jonathan, he did not disown his family and his crazy daddy. He somehow was able to confront and still do the role of son and friend. And I don't know how he did it. I don't think most people can pull it off. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the woods, and Jonathan went home to his house. We're not told if David and Jonathan ever see each other again in the Bible. The next time we see Jonathan is on the battlefield. He's there with his two brothers and his father. He is a good soldier, a warrior, right to the end. 1 Samuel 31. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. So Saul died, say it with me, and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. A couple other things and we're done. Hang in here with me. Weird. You probably read about this in your Bible. Some of you hadn't connected the dots yet. Jonathan, before you pop it up on the screen, don't give his name. Jonathan had one son. He was killed when the little boy was 5 years old. Somebody shout out the boy's name. Mephibosheth. Pop it up. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame at his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up, and they started running, and it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and was crippled because of the hard fall. And his name was Mephibosheth. Times passed. The kingdom now is in David's hands. Years has passed. It's crazy in Israel what's been happening. And King David says, years later, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I can show kindness, the kindness of God to him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Then sent David, King David sent him and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face. He did reverence the king. He answered, behold your servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show, say it with me now, show thee kindness. Come on, for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I'll restore to you all the land of Saul, your father. Wow! And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and he said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as me? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I've given unto your master's son all that pertained to Saul and all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. You shall bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both of his feet. What a story. Is that a great story or what? Roger and I were going over the other day. He said, my gosh, this could be a movie. It's incredible. Friendship. I guess friends do matter, don't they? What did I learn? Here's what I learned. We're going to do them real fast. What can you do? You're just up there talking to us about the Bible. Felt like you're in Sunday school with me. I know. Here we go. What can you do? Jonathan willingly sacrificed to his friend. Who remembers what he gave him first time? What was it? You know what I want to challenge you to do? Here's what I want to challenge you to do. And the Lord hammered me in my office. Have you ever had a friend that spoke to you? And if not for that friend, you may have killed yourself. You ever had a friend that talked to you and he helped you, and if he hadn't talked to you, you would have done something really stupid? How many, if it wasn't for a friend, you might be in jail today? If it wasn't for a friend, your marriage would be broken up. How much is a friend like that worth? Church, would you wake up with me this morning? I'm going to say something crazy. You might have a beautiful Harley Davidson. I'd like to hear stories one day. People that go to Fellowship Church, they love their friends so much, they actually blew their mind because they gave them something incredible. Like a Harley Davidson. Do you have a friend that means that much to you? You send him a fruitcake at Christmas. Is that what friendship is gone down to now? Say. Or a little card? What I'm trying to say is, we don't value friendship. Why not give to that friend? Why not give something incredible? I love you! You help me so much. I want to give. No, no, you can't give me that. Here's the title. You think, well, people think we lost our mind, wouldn't they? Or maybe you can just leave it all to your kids. Let them fight over it. That's tough, ain't it? Do you think Jonathan would have given about anything to David, yes or no? Oh, yeah. That's number one. Number two, he loyally defended his friend. You should loyally defend your friend. I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't always do good at this, but I work hard on this one. If you're here, you're part of my body of Christ here at Fellowship Church. If I know somebody is coming up saying crap about you, they're going to have to back up. Are you listening? Chuck Hill, I love Chuck Hill down on this front row. Somebody came up talking mess about Chuck Hill, they would have to back up. Not because I'm a great guy. You got problems, I got problems. Mark, same thing with you. Big Bob, I love Big Bob. Y'all know I love Big Bob right there? Say, I love Big Bob. What I'm saying is loyally defend your friend. But if I'm going to be a good friend, I got to gossip with this friend about this friend, you know, to keep that friend so I can have this friend. You have no friends and you are no friend. Got it? Number three. I know this is tough preaching. Somebody's got to say it. Number three. He openly expressed love for his friend. Fellas, love on your friends. Hug on your friends. Okay? Might take me a little while. You can kiss me, but it's going to be a little rough on me. Yeah. Ladies, I would rather you not kiss me. Okay? And you don't want to anyway. Good. I'm really talking about, you know who I'm talking about today. Express that kind of, what's wrong with that man? Number four. He was a constant encouragement to his friend. An encouragement. That's probably the one I struggle on. I've sort of got the gift of prophecy. That's where we can point out the things wrong in your life. That's what people tell me I have. I don't know what I got. But the fact of the matter is, with my friends, I don't need to be pointing out what's wrong with them. I need to find what's right in them and encourage that. Y'all hear me or not? We're done. Jonathan gave up his own hopes and dreams of the throne for his friend. David's friendship was a sacred covenant to Jonathan that was never to be broken. I think my wife was right. Jonathan deserved his due today, didn't he? Come on, let's praise the Lord for the Word of God. That was worth my time. Thank you, Lord, for putting him in the Bible. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Guess who said that? Jesus. 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 And he went to the cross and laid down his life for you and me. And then he said, when you love one another, this is how everybody's going to know that you're my what? Disciples, followers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.